Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Derek Young. It is signing day throughout the country. And as we come to you right now, K-State has almost everybody that we anticipate being a part of this class taken care of. There are still a couple that are left that will be happening over the next couple of hours that they're not even committed to K-State yet, but we think that they could be in the works or at least something to watch out for if you're a Wildcat. But for the time being, K-State has 24 players in this class that are signed and taken care of, and it should be noted that one of them is indeed Lincoln Cure, because he gave the Wildcats a much-needed gift this morning, which, speaking of gifts, D.Y., you can give the gift of Ireland this holiday season. Secure your tickets now through travel and hospitality packages as the Wildcats kick off the 2025 season in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland. Visit cats2ireland.com for more information. That's cats, the number two, ireland.com. And we now know that Lincoln Cure will be on the roster next season when K-State goes over to Ireland. Will he make the trip? Who knows? But he will be a member of the team next season. Because even as all of this came down to the wire with Lincoln Cure and wondering, is it going to happen? Is it not? He came through this morning for K-State after, look, Oregon made it very tough. They probably took the lead back at certain points. It certainly seemed like that was going to be the case. And K-State, everybody involved that could be involved was in trying to make sure that this stayed locked down and ends up being one of, if not the biggest signing in K-State football history.
From a ranking standpoint, it certainly is. It probably doesn't carry the same cachet as a quarterback, as in like Avery Johnson, who was also a top 100 prospect 2 years ago that signed with Kansas State. I will put it this way. He's the highest rated signing for Kansas State ever. But I think it's a sign to, like, I just had to talk about another one 2 years ago. You could even maybe put Dylan Edwards in that category as a transfer portal target. At the end of last season, competing for kids of this caliber, at least national prestige, is something that Chris Klieman has injected into this program that was missing before he arrived. And I think that is certainly a takeaway that you can have. Because before that, I don't know that there was a picture that you could really paint that Kansas State could land the likes of a Lincoln Cure, of an Avery Johnson, even if they wanted to. And Chris Klieman tried to inject that right away. I mean, they were competitive even in that first class for guys like, they didn't really pan out, but the guys like Turner Corcoran and Kai Thomas, and nearly pulled those off. But the longer that they were in Manhattan, those types of prospects became more attainable to them, and now they're landing them just about every year. And there's also, like, let's be honest here, there's also like, the ones that are underlying in there as well a little bit that they're landing now that they probably weren't before either. I mean, I think Will Ancio had like 10 to 15 Power 5 offers as well at the time of his commitment and signing. So this is a big deal. And that doesn't even go into the fact of what all you were probably up against. You kind of alluded to some of it when you're trying to fend off Oregon. And let's make it clear a second time, because when they did so the first, when he committed, it was also fending off Oregon. But the second time, not only are you fending off the program that Phil Knight and Nike basically fund and have snagged commits away from blue blood programs by doing it this way, but you're doing it against Dan Lanning, who I think has become probably the best coach in college football, not named Kirby Smart, over the past 12 to 18 months. Certainly the program that you can argue recruits better than any coaching staff in the country at this point. There's a few other ones you could put there, like Ohio State and Georgia as well. The one that's the only undefeated team in the country at the moment, the number one team in America at the moment. And again, I believe like it's no mystery or you know, surprise or secret that the two programs believed to be the most expensive in America this year were Ohio State and Oregon. So that's the kind of odds you are kind of going up against, and you're considered little old Kansas State, and you basically beat that twice.
Yeah, that's the impressive part about this is it was a legit recruiting battle down to the end with Oregon, and K-State was able to fight them off. And it look, two very different reasons for why Lincoln Cure would go to K-State or Oregon. And Drew and I talked about this yesterday. Neither would have been the wrong answer. I think that was the one thing that should have been clear going into this today is if he had chosen Oregon, I don't think you can sit here as a K-State fan and say he made the wrong decision. But on the flip side, if you're on the Oregon or national perspective of this, you shouldn't look at this and say he made the wrong decision by staying with K-State. You know, you can question maybe the way that it all came down to the wire and how it worked out. But at the end of the day, a lot of that becomes irrelevant too, though, because he did stay with K-State. So a lot of the, oh, well, you know, you kind of ran him up to the end and you didn't do this or that. I'm sure you would have liked to have done things differently there or seen it done differently if you're K-State, but you're not left in this giant hole that you thought you might be with, you know, not getting Lincoln Cure and not having this tight end that was going to hold the class together. One other thing that I want to point out here, because you're talking about the consistency now of landing these top talents throughout the state of Kansas. I'm going back a ways to try and do this research, but I've gotten to – okay, it's 2010. 2010 was the last time that K-State signed one of the four-star players in the state out of high school until the class of 2022, or excuse me, the class of 2023, when they landed Avery Johnson. Then 23, 24, and 25, three straight recruiting classes where K-State has landed at least one of the four-star recruits in the state. Last year, it was Gus Hawkins. This year, it's Lincoln Cure. And we know how loaded the class was this year. I mean, this is the other thing to paint the picture. Here are the other schools that the four stars, according to the On3 industry ranking, are committed to this season. Andrew Babalola, a five-star, number 15 player in the country from Blue Valley Northwest, is signed with Michigan. Lincoln Cure signed with K-State. Desaun Brehm, another four-star tight end, top 80 player in the country, signed with Tennessee. Jaden Woods, what? Go ahead.
In case they almost flipped Desaun Brehm.
Jaden Woods was committed to Penn State, flipped last week, kind of out of the blue to Florida, top 120 player.
A bit bizarre too. Not to like go into that one, but like Penn State is where the familiarity was because his dad played for James Franklin for a year at Kansas State when James Franklin was the offensive coordinator under Ron Prince. And then you flip from a program that's going to go to the playoff and feels pretty comfortable with where they are, a lot of job security and like nothing wrong there, to a program in Florida where, yeah, Billy Napier gets to stay for another season, but he's probably got to go to at least 8-4 to keep his job up for next year.
And then Dawson Merritt, he flipped from it had been Alabama. Now he flipped to Nebraska, signed with Nebraska today. Keaton Jones is the last four-star. He's committed to Missouri. So if you look at it, all the top talent in the state this year went to a Big Ten or SEC program except for Lincoln Cure. And that to me, the last 3 years is probably the best highlight of the job that Chris Klieman has been able to do is that this staff really has been able to keep the top players in the state at K-State, keep them in the fold. As you know, the last two seasons, they land the top two guys in the state, Avery Johnson and then Gus Hawkins. And then this year you get the number two, but it's a pretty darn good number two with the number 40 player in the country because Hawkins was 169 and Avery was 104. So you're getting the second best player in the state this year, they are higher in the rankings than your previous two best.
Brock Heath in this class at one time was a four-star. Dylan Edwards, who was also in the 23 class with Avery, was a four-star. And the last class in 24, obviously you mentioned Gus Hawkins, Caden Massey was a four-star by at least one of their service as well. Jordan Allen in Avery's class, along with Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson, was a four-star by two different services, including On3 and 247. And I'm trying to think if there was anyone else that I'm missing. Andre Davis got close. Will Ancio got close.
There were a lot I know in last year's class that had the designation. I'd have to go back and look, but a lot of different guys that had
I was talking about from Kansas. Yeah, Massey.
Yeah. So the point is they have over the last couple of years really locked this thing in, and it coincides with the fact that they've had time to be here, establish themselves, build those relationships with the players and the schools and everything. And this is one of those where that would not be untrue if Lincoln Cure had decided to flip to Oregon today. But it just kind of reillustrates and strengthens that notion based on how things play out. So, all right, that's the kind of big picture stuff here with, you know, K-State and what this means that they got him. Not many people, I think, are totally plugged into how this played out. I think there's just understanding of kind of the mood swings that came with this recruitment over the last 4 days since the visit to Eugene took place. From your view, what kind of happened here from that visit all the way up into the point where you get word this morning he's filled out the paperwork, it is going to be K-State that he signs with today?
Yeah, I think that visit was so good, and he was so interested in Oregon, and that's why he insisted on it. Like I said, I was leaning Oregon even before the trip because, again, when it fell through for the first time, it could have been easy to say, all right, you know, I was going to go there for a little fun time, but I'm not going to go through the hassle of this once again. But he did, so that told me I'm going to lean Oregon, and judging by just kind of reading between the lines of everything and talking to some people that were pretty connected to the recruitment throughout the duration, I think that visit confirmed to him his interest in Oregon. And he's had a little bit of a love affair for the Ducks since, you know, mostly throughout his childhood. And you kind of alluded to in the last show that we talked about, like, for that generation, that's when Oregon became cool. So I think Oregon does have that effect on prospects and not just Lincoln Cure. But as time grew away from that trip, I think the flash of it probably started to wear off a little bit the further he got away from it, but also because he was still engaging in conversations with the Kansas State staff that he has believed in. That's why he committed. All of those things of why he made that decision to go to K-State the first time rushed back to him. And I also think this, and this is partly the reason, in my opinion, why Deshaun Brame gave K-State a last-second consideration as well. It's easy to say you want to get away from home until the fact that you actually have to sign the paper, and then it becomes a bit more real. And I think that could play a factor as well. And, you know, for some kids and some families, and I can't speak for them, at the end of the day, they have a hard time going back on their word. It's a hard thing to do if that is important to them.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those that I thought in this process where at the end of the day, like, that would be one of the things that probably could have pushed K-State over the edge if this ended up being the deal, was you think back, okay, I made this decision back on July 1st. Now I have to go through the process of, like, telling these people, hey, it's not happening, and change it at the last minute. And for somebody to make that switch, you have to be, I think, 100% confident that that was the right move. And now, like, yeah, that's not to put, you know, words into Lincoln Cure's mouth, but I would assume, like, that's the kind of way this thing goes, just based off of, like, we've talked about it in the past. Like, we've all had to make decisions in our lives with, you know, jobs or whatever else. And you can feel like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, but you have to get over that one last hurdle. And for some of us, we get that last hurdle. Like, I've talked about it before. Like, my last hurdle to leave radio, it became very clear to me, and I walked out of that office going, I 100% made the right decision. I'm at peace with it now. And sometimes that last hurdle, you just can't get over. So I don't know for Lincoln Cure if it was he couldn't get over that last hurdle, and on the other side was an Oregon commitment, or if he did get over the hurdle and it was still K-State once he got past all that. But at the end of the day, I think for as long as it took him to make this decision, it should be very clear that he made, at least in his mind, the right one at the end of this. I don't think this was him thinking, I'm just going to sign with K-State. I think you take as much time as he did to think this out and take it up to the gun with both sides not knowing. I think that this is probably where he wanted to end up in the end.
I think everyone's kind of been into not an identical situation, but a comparable one in their life. Whether, like you, it's between two jobs, or you're between two friends, or you're between two girls, You're between. Oh,
I know. I mean, I don't know that some of us are as cool as you, but yeah.
Or you're between two schools. But in my experience, sometimes the pick ends up being the one that's the hardest to say no to. And I think because of the emotions and heartstrings that were likely involved in the long relationship, and I'm trying to speak for Lincoln, but I can't, obviously. So this is just us opening and drawing dots and trying to connect them. I would imagine for him, it would have been much harder to tell K-State no this morning, last night, whenever it was, I think it was this morning, than Oregon.
So what you're saying is, no, I'm not gonna say it. I don't want anybody to think K-State. Yeah. What you're saying is Oregon was the hot one, but K-State was like the stable one there. That's where you were going. Both are hot and stable.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that's even better. No wonder you would take that one. K-State's like the 8 with good financial situation, and Oregon's like the 9, but you know, you don't know.
But the funny thing is Oregon surely is financially stable.
Yeah, yeah. I am pretty sure they're quite stable. Yeah, just for the purpose of DY comparing this, like if you've ever been between two women or men if you're out there. So, yeah, this is a big thing for K-State to hang on to it, and everybody that kind of had to work to make sure that this stayed locked down, because this is the other thing that I'm interested in with recruiting is everybody obviously was working their butt off on Oregon staff and K-State staff to try and make this thing happen for them or hold on to it if you're K-State. But you want to be in constant contact and try to make it clear, like, hey, we want you. This is why you can be successful here. But where's the fine line between letting the kid breathe and also trying to make sure you're doing your job and trying to make sure he comes and plays for you?
It's a fine line. And to be honest, I think teams sometimes lose recruitments because they don't give that space in between. I think Kansas State actually is one of the ones that is very mindful of that. They're not going to try to overwhelm someone and just like boom, 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 boom. I think they were having conversations with them late last night, maybe this morning. But I think from my experience and knowing certain recruitments and how those went that were also a bit contentious, I think Kansas State toes that line pretty well. I think that's probably something they do well that I know that some schools don't. Oregon may do that well too, to be honest. I don't know that for a fact, but what I do know is that you look up what Oregon has done recruiting-wise under Dan Lanning. They recruited really well before Dan Lanning, and they've taken it to another step where they're signing multiple five-stars every year, where I don't know that they were on that quite a level before him.
Yeah, no, that's good to know. Okay, so this is in the books now. Lincoln Cure is a Cat. I know Drew and I will have more on this later in the day when we do our full signing day show that's taking place at 3 o'clock right here on the KSO YouTube. And if this is well after 3 o'clock that you're watching this one, just know that that will be up ready for a playback, or you can listen to it on the podcast platforms. In terms of what Lincoln Cure will mean as a player immediately at K-State, obviously there's athleticism and talent out of, you know, every part of him. What are the chances of an impact earlier on in his career than what maybe was originally thought?
I think he's too good and too much of an athlete and a weapon not to be used right away. But in terms of settling into like a solidified starting role or having a wide-ranging impact, I would hesitate on that. I think he plays early, but I think it's spotty, like as a maybe a situational weapon, or you know, you have to be able to use that athleticism and potential on the offensive side of the ball if you're Kansas State. But his wide-ranging impact will be dictated by how much he can acclimate himself in a short amount of time, because he will not be enrolling early. So he'll be enrolling in June, and that's not a lot of time to get sped up on everything. Tight end is a pretty much an all-encompassing position at Kansas State. They'll probably just spoon feed him a little bit and not try to give him a bunch right away so that he can play fast enough to where he can get on the field early. But that's going to be a bit of a process. And June, July, August, that's going to tell the tale of just how much he will play. But I think he's too good not to play in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the usage ends up looking next year, because you obviously have that talent, and so much of this era of college football is also making sure that your big-time talent is happy, and the easiest way to make guys happy is putting them on the field too. So it'll be fascinating to watch his development and everything that comes with it, but everybody can rest easy now. The final decision, it remains K-State, just over 5 months after Lincoln Cure initially made the commitment. He signs with the Wildcats, and we will have more all throughout the day over on kstateonline.com. So head to On3 and take in everything that you're getting over there. Drew has great breakdowns of every single commitment in the class the second they sign. And be on your toes, because it's 10:45 when we're finishing this, and there are still a handful of surprises that might be out there for K-State on signing day. And then Drew and I will have the full recap at 3 o'clock today. And that will be after Chris Klieman has his press conference at 1. So there's going to be a lot of things to take in from signing day today, but it's a big one for K-State, because as we sit right now, K-State is inside the top 40 nationally, and they currently have the fourth best class in the Big 12. Depending on how the rest of the day plays out, there's a very good chance that K-State will finish with the third best class in the league, only behind TCU and Colorado, which shouldn't come as much of a surprise, because those two schools have the most four-star signees in the league at 6 apiece. And then TCU's, they're going to have a massive class this year, almost 30 kids in their class. Meanwhile, Colorado at 15, but it's a strong 15, as always, with Deion Sanders recruiting. So that will do it for us today, at least for DY. I'll be back later, but for the moment, we're out of here. So for Derek Young, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching and listening to K-State Online. Head on over to On3 for more coverage of the Cats and National Signing Day.